Well, thank you for coming out for our midweek service tonight. Appreciate it very much. Hope you're having a really good week. God's blessings upon you. And tonight, I want to share a teaching out of 1 Peter chapter 5. That's going to be our kind of the diving board where we're going to dive into the Word from. Okay. I want my wife to be able to sit there in peace. I like living on the edge. Tonight I want to talk to you about resisting the roaring devourer. This is the passage of Scripture where we're told that Satan is like a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may," what? "Devour." And I didn't put all the scripture there that I decided I want to read those verses afterwards as well. Let me see here if I can find it in this little thing here. All right, here we go. Just hold on. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read through verse 10. Yes. Okay, I'm going to read that again. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So I love that passage of Scripture. It reminds us that early believers, just like we do at times, kind of get swamped by everything that's going on in their life, living for the Lord. They face persecution, they face trials, they face temptations. And one reason that is true is because the same adversary they faced, you and I have to face. Now, different people, obviously, but the spirit working behind trying to disrupt all that God's doing. I love that the way that Peter finishes that out there. The Lord establishes us. He strengthens us. He settles us. And the KJV, it's established, so you can alliterate that. Establish, strengthen, settle. How? By His grace. So the enemy doesn't want you to be established. He wants you to be unstable, not established and stable. He doesn't want you to be strong. As a matter of fact, his evil eye is always looking for those areas of weaknesses in our lives. So the Scripture calls us to be strong in Christ, and so the enemy wants to exploit our weaknesses. But God says, Peter says that the Lord will strengthen us by His grace and settle us. You ever just feel unsettled? I'm not talking about you don't have a place to live, that kind of stuff. That can be true of some people. But just feeling unsettled. Things, you know, having trouble keeping the bubble in the middle of the level, the lines, you know. Just things are not stable. They're not settled. The enemy capitalizes when we find ourselves in a place like that. He's like that lion who, if you've ever watched the National Geo specials about Africa. And sometimes people ask me, where's the most beautiful place you've ever been on earth? And I usually say, well, the Ngorongoro National Park. It's a volcanic crater that's obviously inactive. You go up over the lip down into the crater, and it's like moss green. It looks like Jurassic Park. One of the most amazing sights I've ever seen, just lush green. Tens and tens and tens of thousands of pink flamingo in a swampy area. Then you have tons of zebras. And I saw a cape buffalo. I saw giraffe. I saw elephants. I saw a nail line within 5 feet of my fingertip and standing in the back of a Range Rover. That was a moment. It was just amazing. But those lions out there, and one reason the driver stopped, he saw him coming, and the lion walked right by the vehicle we were in. And somebody said, "Well, aren't you afraid he'll attack?" He said, "No, they mostly attack at night, you know." And but what they do is they look for the weak one in the herd, the little one, the weak one, and they cut that one out of the herd, and that's lunch or supper, as the case may be. The enemy is described here in 1 Peter as a roaring lion. He walks about like a roaring lion. I've heard the lions roar down at UNA when they had lions down there. And I've heard Pastor Doc talk about a roaring lion. And it's when MGM, is it MGM, the movies come on, roar, you know, they have the roaring lion. Can you imagine being out there in the dark in lion territory at night and hear one of those cut loose? That would be terrifying. Well, the enemy likes to intimidate and terrify. You know, he likes to be loud. He likes to be boisterous. But his goal is, he is seeking. He's looking for people whose lives he can devour. Jesus said it this way: the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So, he's our nemesis. He's our enemy. And tonight I want to talk about resisting this roaring devourer that we all had to deal with. And now, the truth is that Satan has lots of help. You know, demonic hordes that do his bidding. Our flesh, your flesh, my flesh, is on his side. The Bible's very clear. Your flesh and my flesh is not on God's side. The flesh is at enmity with God. In other words, our flesh is God's enemy. Am I making noise here? Is that better? Okay. All right. So, let's talk about the ways that we can resist them. And what I'm doing, I'm going to use one word at a time and just work through some of the ways that we can resist, because we're told here that we are to resist him in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. So the first thing is faith. Faith. I preached on this Sunday, without faith it's impossible to please God, the role that faith plays in our life, basically trusting and obeying God. The enemy wants you to look at circumstances, not Christ. What's going on around you, not who's living within you, who rules above you, and who is for you. The Bible says that God is for you, not against you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God lives within you. The Bible says that God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Bible says that God works in you, both to will and do according to that which pleases him. The Bible says he's working all things together for good for you. On and on the list goes of the resources and the promises of God that surround your life. I didn't even mention the angels. I'll throw them in there too. All of these resources, supernaturally speaking, are available to us. But we have to believe that. Without it, we can't please God. And in James chapter 1, we are told concerning the man who is not operating in faith, he is not that settled man. He is like a man on the waves of the sea. He's tossed to and fro by the waves. And some people are moved by winds of doctrine. There's all kinds of things the enemy can use to unsettle our life or to move us off of being strong and established and steadfast. Interestingly, Peter says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. That's a picture of that person who's settled and strong in Christ. Steadfast in the faith. This does away with the notion of self-reliance or our own smarts or our wits. even common sense, although that's a good thing to have, seems to be in short supply today. But really what moves the mountain is faith. What moves the heart of God is faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. The just shall live, literally, the just shall live by his faith. And Paul, in writing to the Colossians, says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive Him? By faith. By faith. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. The Christian life is a daily walk of faith, or a daily walk of trusting and obeying and relying upon God. So faith, we will not be able to resist the enemy without faith. Okay, let's move on. You got to have some fight. I'm alliterating. These are F words, okay? Okay. Fight. Good, godly, holy ones. Okay? Fight. Fight. We are to fight the good fight of what? Faith. So not only should we have faith, but we got to realize we got to fight with that faith. The armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, my next 30-day devotional I'm working on right now is called Overcoming Temptation. All of this plays into that, resisting Satan, overcoming temptations that come our way, staying steadfast in trials, weathering in a godly way the storms of life. All of these are traveling on that same highway, if you will. But we got to have some fight in us. Oh, how the enemy doesn't want you to have any fight in you. The Lord didn't call any of us to be milquetoast Christians. We need to have a spiritual backbone and have some fight in us. You've heard me, if you've been around my preaching very long, ever so often I just got to talk about Uncle Bud Robinson. I always think about him when I'm talking about fight and the way he prayed. Oh Lord, give me a backbone as big as a saw log under the floor of this church. Give me ribs like the rafters over my head. Lord, help me to have skin as tough as a rhinoceros hide. And give me the gumption to fight the devil as long as I got a tooth in my head and then gum him till I die. That's Uncle Bud Robinson. He had some fight. And sometimes, listen, like the psalmist, when he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all is within me. Sometimes you got to preach yourself up. I'm talking about you let your spirit man have the microphone and inform your emotions and inform your mentality and inform even your body that even though you may not feel your best and even though you may not be thinking your sharpest and even though it may be like a dark cloud hanging over your life, that you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You can do all things through Christ. The Word of God will never fail. You will not be moved by how you feel. You will be moved by what God says. You got to have some fight. And when you're feeling weak, sometimes you got to give your spirit man the mic and let him preach you up. I love the scriptures. I recently did a Zoom call with a group of pastors from different places in the country, and I ministered about the ministry of remembrance, where Peter talks about stir yourself up by way of remembrance. This is that same idea. When you're in a tight spot and the devil's wanting you to magnify that and that problem's getting bigger by the moment, you stir yourself up by remembering the last tight spot you were in that God got you out of. Or that time when there wasn't any way you could find a way, but God made a way anyway. And you stir yourself up because God is faithful. He is with you. He is for you. He's working in you. So you got to have some fight. The armor of God, put it on. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, then cut loose praying in the Spirit in tongues, and then you're armored and you're ready and you're at war. And that's what Paul says. Having done all to stand, stand. And then he describes the armor. He's talking about somebody in a battle. He's talking about somebody in the fight. So if you're on the front line of the battle here tonight and you're feeling low and you're becoming overwhelmed, preach yourself up. You stay in the faith and you fire up the fight inside of you. Isn't it amazing how quickly the flesh can rise up and want to fight? Have you noticed that when you're overwhelmed, maybe when you're not feeling your best, when things aren't going the way you'd like for them to go, how easy it is for you to rise up and fight in the flesh. But how difficult it is for you to rise up and fight in the Spirit. That ought to be an indicator to us. Again, that's where we've got to let our spirit man rise up. Now, let's move on. The third word is flee. Well, I thought you just said we're supposed to fight. Now you're saying run? I'm saying sometimes the way you fight is you run. You flee. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament serving his master Potiphar faithfully. Potiphar's wife had her eye on that handsome young man. Got him in the bedroom one day when no one was around. She laid hands on him. And she wasn't going to pray. And you know, next thing that happened, she had his garment in his hand, but he was no longer in it. No, it's not what you think. He was running. He was getting out of there. She accused him, basically, of trying to sexually assault her, or something along those lines. He got thrown in prison for it, but God took care of him. But the answer for him in that situation was to run. Paul told young Timothy, flee youthful lust. If your flesh is being aroused and awakened, then that's an indicator. Remove yourself from whatever's causing that to happen. Run. Sometimes the way you fight your spiritual battle is to remove yourself from where you are. And not just in the area of sexual temptation. Sometimes it may be you're running with the wrong crowd and you're going to get what the crowd gets if you don't separate yourself from them. Flee. The Bible tells us to flee idolatry. Don't hang around where devils are being worshipped. Don't partnership with that. Don't let your presence be a vote for what's happening. Get yourself out of there. Rebuke them, cast them out, run them off. Or if it's idolatry, idolatrous and worship, all that kind of stuff, get out of there. Flee. Number four. Another word, forsake. This is another way that we overcome temptation, weather storms, endure the trials, and resist the roaring devourer. It's some things you just have to forsake. What does forsake mean? Well, think of the scriptures that use the word. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God's not going to forsake you, but there's some things that God wants you to forsake. That means to turn away from. No longer have anything to do with it. And the Holy Spirit is the expert in identifying the things in our life that don't need to be in our lives. Sometimes we may have soulish ties with people that we shouldn't have. Sometimes we may have emotional ties to something that's happened even a memory. An object. I could tell you stories about people who were in a very strange, bizarre way attracted to certain objects And come to find out, it's because those objects had some demonization occurring around them. And usually it's occultic items that are used in certain type of occultic worship. It can be items that have been dedicated to strange or foreign gods. Well, we don't have to be around that kind. You might be surprised where that kind of thing can show up. And it's just best to forsake it. Abandon it. Do away with it. So some things we need to forsake. And then sometimes in order to walk in our victory, we need to forgive. This is a big one. You've heard me say this before as well, if you've been around very long, that one of the things that probably close to the very top of the list that Christians find themselves struggling with is unforgiveness. For some wrong that someone's committed against them or some group's committed against them, some hurt, some offense, and they're harboring a grudge or bitterness, unforgiveness, holding some resentment. The way to break the power of all of that is through the simple act of forgiving. And by the way, this is not an option we can choose to do. We are commanded to forgive because we have been forgiven. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Are you saying that what someone's done to you is worse than what you've done to God? We all were deserving of eternal wrath. And God in His grace and mercy has chosen to forgive us through Christ. Now we are in Christ. That's where we found our forgiveness. So even positionally, theologically, we're in Christ, the one who has forgiven us and died that we might be forgiven. Then we have access to the ability to forgive. God's grace will enable us to forgive. And I know even in this audience tonight, some of you have endured some horrible things at the hands of other people. You've been betrayed very deeply. You've been abused. Some of you may have been criminally treated or assaulted in some way. You've been deeply, deeply hurt. But through forgiveness, you get free from the hold that those things have on you. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful things that we can do, to be able to forgive. To be free from that. Instead of bound. That scripture we've been quoting all month about a broken spirit, how it dries up the bones. A lot of times that's exactly what happens with prolonged chronic bitterness and unforgiveness. It just works its way to the core of your bones and eats you up. It's not worth it. Choose to forgive. Number six, forgetting. You know, the Bible talks about how God doesn't remember our sins anymore. But we can choose and we can work on, what I mean by forgetting is not allowing things that have happened in the past to keep resurfacing. And it may not be bitterness or unforgiveness, may not have anything to do with that. The enemy wants to, let me explain it this way. You've heard me on a number of occasions talk about how Satan is a copycat. He observes how things work with God's pattern of the paradigms that God has established in the spirit realm. He will take those same patterns and pervert them. And this is another area where he does that. I mentioned earlier, we can be enlivened, awakened, quickened, and strengthened by stirring ourselves up by remembering. Right? Well, the enemy does the same thing. He wants to arouse you and stir you up and cause you to remember certain things. And the things he wants you to remember are the things I'm talking about that you need to forget. Sometimes it may be the heat of an old flame. Something that some act you perpetrated in the past that he may use to keep bringing you back in condemnation. That worst day of your life when you did the worst thing you feel like you've ever done. He wants to parade that across your mind, get you to remember it, to pull you down and discourage you. And you need to forget that. How do you forget that? By stirring yourself up, by remembrance that, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's true. I did that happen. But I've been cleansed by the power of Jesus' blood. I've been liberated from all the guilt, condemnation, and shame associated with that. And I'm ready to pray for anybody that's doing that same thing to let them know the victory that I found in Jesus Christ. So you reframe the thing. You forget what the enemy's wanting you to remember, and you remember what the Holy Spirit is wanting you to remember. And that becomes weapons in your hand. Your walk with God, your experiences with God, your encounters with God. When the devil reminds you of something you did, you just remind him of what Christ has done. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus and power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's some things we need to forget. I think most of us would admit there's been times that we find ourselves cyclically, repeatedly, struggling with things that I've prayed with numbers of people. I know I've repented of this numbers of times, but it's just like it just keeps coming up. And maybe I haven't repented well. Well, maybe it's the enemy just dredging things up, wanting to keep you under guilt, shame, and condemnation. Get some faith and some fight and forget certain things and go to war against that with the Word of God. That's what we're called to do. Number 7. I've got 8 all together, so I'm doing good tonight here. All right? Forerun. What in the world's that got to do with resisting, with overcoming temptation, resisting the devourer, weathering the storms, or enduring trials? Well, we use that word here in Alabama because Alabama is the forerunner state. The forerunner is the one who's paving the path for those who's coming behind. And sometimes it will help you to win the battle that's in front of you. You realize, you know, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing it so it's going to be easier for my kids and my grandkids. It's going to be easier for the people where I attend church, the people I work with. If I can get victory in this, then I'm in a place now where I can help other people gain this same victory. I'm going to forerun. Because sometimes the enemy might say things like, well, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Everybody struggles with that. Everybody struggles with that. It's not that big of a deal. Well, maybe you should rise up and forerun and say, well, you know what? I'm going to be one that's not going to struggle with that anymore. I'm going to get victory. I'm going to overcome it. You are not just a conqueror. The Bible says that you are more than a conqueror. It's more than you just went in a battle. You're going to vanquish the enemy. Wipe them out with him, right? So be a forerunner. Think about people beyond yourself. And, you know, particularly with, say, you're battling with a substance abuse issue of some kind. Yeah, you want to get victory, but just think of, if you can win this battle, what a blessing it's going to be to the people that love you so much. There's others involved in your life beyond just you. Be a forerunner. And then the last thing is finish. Finish. There's a scripture I love, the Old Testament. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, yet shall he rise again. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. If you fail, fail forward. Get up and go again. Don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't you quit. You finish. You finish. It's so true. I've heard it preached, and I've heard it out of my own mouth, that sometimes it's just when you're nearing the victory line that you can't see. When that next step of obedience is going to put you across and you're going to see your breakthrough. You don't know that. You may not sense that. You may think the heavens are brass. I've been trying to obey God. I'm so tired. I'm war weary. I'm worn out. That enemy coming against my mind, all that kind of stuff. But what you don't realize is the enemy, he's rising up too. The closer you get to your victory, he's sending in reinforcements. He's wanting to shut you down and back you off because you're almost there. You may not see it. You may not sense it. So that next step, just get it together. Gird up your loins, as it says. Be sober. Be vigilant. Fight. Hold on to the faith. Be strong. Be settled. Be established. And resist that devil. And get your breakthrough. That next step. And then when you get there, that next one. Because one of them is going to be the finish line. Finish well. The enemy wants to blind us to how much of our lives we've invested in living for the Lord and for the kingdom. Because he knows human nature is, man, if he can just wipe you out, it's amazing how quickly people forget all the things that God did through you. We see this not just in the church realm, but out in the secular realm, the political realm. Political foes work overtime if you don't like the message, what do? Shoot the messenger. Aim at the messenger. And the enemy knows, strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Strike the daddy, the family will scatter. Strike the boss, the business will scatter. He understands that principle, and he's an expert at that. But we have all these things I've mentioned tonight are encouragements to us to stay the course, to fight the fight. Don't throw in the towel. Fight the good fight of faith. And here's the thing. We may not have seen, lived out to the end yet, but we've already been told how it's all going to end up. I mean, be foolish when you know, hey, we're on the winning side. Jesus wins this thing. It's going to be even as the Lord has said. This roaring lion, there's going to come a time when he's going to growl his last growl. He's going to take a 1,000-year hiatus in a deep, dark hole. And then only the Lord knows why he's going to let him out again for a season, but he's going to do it. And then he's going to the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. His fate is settled. And there's nothing he can do to change the final outcome. I think he probably thinks he can. But it won't happen. And when we realize that, our fortress is our position in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who is our strength. And I'm amazed at how many scriptures, I just finished that little book about our identity in Christ, and it's amazing the number of scriptures that remind us of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, who he is to us, who he's always been and who he'll always be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is your friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is your Lord, your Master, and your Savior. And there's coming a day when he'll mount that white steed and the trump of God will sound and the angelic host will gather. And he's going to come galloping this way. And he's going to have fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And we're going to get to be with him. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Would you stand, please? Now across the room, if you'd bow your heads for just a moment. While your heads are bowed, Nick, is this tonight, like, Pastor Eddie, this message is for me tonight. I need you to pray for me because this is where I am and I need victory. Just hold your hands up. Lord, bear witness to these signals of faith as hands are lifted in the air. Father God, I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that your encouragement by your Spirit would just begin to move across this room. Lord, there'd be a fresh infilling. Revitalize us here tonight. You are our strength, our strong tower. Holy Spirit, breathe on your people here tonight. Be strengthened, dear beloved. Know how incredibly much that you are loved by the Lord Jesus. His Spirit is living inside of you, and you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. You already have probably a lot of things you're praying for. You already have them. Just believe. Walk in it. Begin to declare it over your life. What do you want to see God doing in your life? Begin to declare that. Lord, I thank you that you're energizing me. I thank you that you're binding the enemy's efforts. I thank you that you're shining your light in front of me. I thank you that you're opening the door before me. I thank you that your angels are here to assist me and aid me. I thank you that you are for me, that you're with me, and that you are strengthening me. Even now, I thank you that you're doing that. I receive by faith everything you have for me in this sacred moment here in this service tonight. I receive it, King Jesus. Just tell him that I receive it right now. King Jesus, I receive it. And I'm going to ask you to do something just a little differently tonight. I want you to, those who feel comfortable, do it. Get in groups of like three or four. And just in light of what I've taught tonight, pray over one another. Not that you all have to pray, but one or two of you pray over the group. Or if you all want to pray, that's fine. But just take just a few moments to do that. Gather around, and then if some of our prayer team members would be in the altar, if you're here and you need somebody to pray individually, more privately, confidentially with you, we'll have a few people in the altar just to be up here, if you would. A couple on each side. If anyone needs to come, we have some folks up here waiting on you as well. Holy Spirit, have your way. Move in the midst of your people in this room tonight.